This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وأقول في القرآن ما جاءت به آياته فهو الكريم المنزال. وأقول قال الله جل جلاله والمصطفى الهادي ولا أتأول.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبد الله ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. As always, we begin praising Allah, asking Allah Azza wa Jal to exalt the mention and grant peace to our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his family and his companions. We are talking about the essence of the marriage contract. And this is before we go on to talk about huquq az-zawjain, the rights of the husband, the rights of the wife, and then marital discord, because we want to establish the terms and conditions, if you like. What are the terms and conditions? What am I even agreeing to when I marry? What's the essence of this contract? How is it structured? How is it made up? And maybe many of the people watching this video already married, but they themselves might not have known. They married in a customary way, you know. Somebody said, I offer you my daughter in marriage, and I said, قبلت, I accepted it, and so on. But did they really know what they accepted? And did they really understand the basis upon which the nikah is built? So we said that one of the recommended actions in the nikah is the khutbatul haja. And there are three ayat that I just think they're so important to go over in the light of marriage. Now you could go over them in general in terms of khutbatul haja, but just to talk about them in the light of marriage. Three ayat. There is an ayah in Surah An-Nisa, an ayah in Surah Ali Imran, and an ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab. So as for the ayah in Surah Ali Imran, the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe. And whenever the statement "O you who believe" comes in the Quran, this statement is intended to catch you, to make you listen, to make you say, this is something Allah is telling me. And Allah is telling it to the husband and the wife in terms of nikah, because we're talking about nikah here. That Allah Azza wa Jal is telling to the husband and the wife, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, or you who believe, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, have taqwa of Allah as He deserves that you should have taqwa of Him. Have taqwa of Allah to the extent that Allah deserves you to have taqwa of Him. So remind ourselves again, what is taqwa? I'll tell you what it is. I'll give you a chance to pause the video and see if you can remember a good definition for a taqwa linguistically and Islamically. Have a think. So inshallah ta'ala, you had a think about it. Linguistically, taqwa is to put a barrier between you and something that you are scared of. We give the example of smashing a glass on the floor, putting your shoes on. Another example I often give, if you've ever had an x-ray, you saw the x-ray technician goes behind the big lead screen to protect himself or herself from the rays, the x-rays that come out that could be harmful. That is also linguistically a taqwa. Put a barrier, put a shield between you and between something you're scared of. In Islam, it's to put a barrier or a shield between you, between Allah's punishment, His anger, His curse, and the hellfire by doing what Allah commanded and keeping away from what Allah prohibited. So that's what a marriage should be based upon. That's your aqd. That's what your marriage is based upon. That's the asl. That's the foundation that it's built upon, is a taqwa. Is having that taqwa of Allah, haqqa tuqati, as He deserves that you have taqwa of Him. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except as Muslims. How can you choose in what situation you die? How can you choose? You can't choose how you die, right? Like I don't know if I'm going to die before I finish this video, after I finish this video, before I finish the series, after, when I'm old, when I'm young. I don't know when I'm going to die. So how can I die as a Muslim? Very simple. Live your life as a Muslim. Because generally speaking, Allahumma, if a person has ikhlas and with the rahmah of Allah and His fadl and His ihsan, subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will die the way that they lived. If they lived with ihsan, if they lived with ikhlas, if they lived with iman, bi-idhnillahi al-mawla jalla fi'ula, they will die in that state. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. So the husband and the wife, they live Islam in their marriage. Their marriage is built upon Islam and they live Islam in their marriage. The next ayah in Surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَّفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O mankind, have taqwa of your Lord. Second time that taqwa has been mentioned. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Have taqwa of your Lord who created you from a single soul, Adam, created from his wife, Hawa, and from them came out all the men and women. And that we talked about, the very first establishment of the Muslim family in Islam was with Adam and Hawa. So Allah Azza wa Jal reminds you to have taqwa of Allah, because how Allah Azza wa Jal started that huge family, which is everyone on this earth, from Adam and Hawa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless your marriage and bless your family and bless your offspring if you have taqwa of him. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. The third time, have taqwa of Allah. الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ. The one that you ask by him. So you say, أَسْأَلُكَ بِاللَّهِ. I ask you by Allah to do this. You took your wife as an amana from Allah. The one, تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ. You ask in his name. وَالْأَرْحَامِ. And fear Allah with regard to your relatives, the ties of kinship. Fear Allah with regard to the ties of kinship. That's one of the tafsir of the ayah. Fear Allah with regard to the ties of kinship, your relatives. Fear Allah with regard to that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. Allah is always watchful over you. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Surah Al-Ahzab. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمِنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. This is the fourth, fourth time now that Allah Azza wa Jalla said, O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. Then in Surah An-Nisa, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ. The fourth time, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Have taqwa of Allah. وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. And say a statement that is correct and that is true. So this is the importance of being truthful in speech and speaking what's right. Say what's right. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Say what is right. And that's so important in a marriage, that the husband and the wife, they speak to each other قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. They speak the truth. There's no lying, there's no betraying, there's no going behind each other's back. And they say what is right to each other. فَلْيَكُلْ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِيَصْمُتْ. Let him say something good or don't say anything at all. What will happen if you say the right thing? قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. You say the right thing. You say what is correct and what is true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do what? He will correct your deeds. He will correct your a'mal. He will correct your marriage. He'll make your marriage right. Even if your marriage is not right, يُصْلِح. Allah will make it right. Allah will bring it back and make it right. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And Allah will forgive you your mistakes and your sins, including those things that happened in the marriage that you didn't intend. Allah will forgive you your sins. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, and that shows that marriage is based upon obedience to Allah and obedience to the Messenger, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. That person has had the best success. If your marriage is based upon obeying Allah and obeying the Prophet ﷺ, people talk about why does the wife obey the husband and why do the children obey the wife and the mother and the father. And this family unit is based upon ta'atullah wa ta'atu rasulih, obeying Allah and obeying his Rasul salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. It's not about obedience of one person to the other. This is a side effect of structure in the family and following the commands of Allah, but it's about obedience to Allah. So a husband doesn't tell his wife to do something unless he knows this is ta'atullah wa ta'atu rasulih, obedience to Allah and obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the wife doesn't listen to the husband except in that which is ta'atullah wa ta'atu rasulih, obedience to Allah and obedience to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma, she does it in the right way, in with the best etiquette, but she only, her concern is obeying Allah. And obeying her husband is a part of obeying Allah, as long as what the husband says is in line with and in agreement with obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's the true success. That's what success is really built upon. So I thought these three ayat are just so appropriate for the topic of marriage, because all of them are said in the nikah. It's from the mustahabbat of the nikah to say the khutbat al-haja. And of course, we haven't mentioned the whole khutbat al-haja. Alhamdulillahi na'hamadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله عبده ورسوله أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم that all praises for Allah, we praise Him, we seek His help, we ask His forgiveness, we seek refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves, the evil of our actions. Whoever Allah guides, there is nobody who can misguide Him. And Allah guides the one who, what? Who works hard, who is sincere for Allah and tries hard. And whoever Allah misguides, because that person has preferred misguidance for themselves and turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so Allah azza wa jalla justly and fairly and with wisdom misguides them, there is nobody that can bring that person to guidance. فَمَنْ يَهْدِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ اللَّهِ. Who is it who can guide that person after Allah? Nobody can guide that person after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Our lives, our deen, our entire existence is built upon La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So shouldn't our marriage be built upon the same thing? At-tawheed and al-iman should be built upon at-tawheed and should be built upon iman. And there are many other benefits we can take. The issue of muhtathat al-umur, keeping away from the innovations and the things that are newly introduced into Islam. Inna kulla bid'atin dalala. Every bid'ah is a misguidance. And how many things are there? You know, in terms of bid'ah, in terms of innovation, definitely marriage is one where it comes out. Marriage, funerals are two where, you know, all the innovations come out. So many innovations come out. So much haram, so much copying the non-Muslims. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in authentic hadith, وَمَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whoever resembles a people is one of them. Resembles them in their worship, in their things that are unique to them. You know, subhanAllah, we have people dressing up like Christians, standing at the altar, Muslims giving vows to each other. We have Muslims behaving like Hindus to the point where the Hindu couldn't tell whether it's a Hindu marriage or a Muslim marriage, except for the fact that the guy's name is Ahmed and the woman's name is Fatima. You can't tell any difference between them. They marry the same culture, the same traditions, the same dresses, the same clothing, the same behavior in their marriage. So we keep away from all of these muhtathat al-umur. And wallahi, I will give you a piece of advice. I believe wallahi it is appropriate to give here. And I believe that it's indicated by khutbat al-hajah. And that is that if a couple can make their wedding day a day of obedience to Allah and a day that doesn't have muhtathat al-umur, doesn't have the innovations in it, then inshallah ta'ala their wedding will be mubarak, will be blessed by the permission of Allah. It will be a zawaj, a nikah, which is mubarak. It will be blessed by Allah Jalla fi'ula. Because that day is a day where so many people compromise. A woman, she's worn strict hijab. On that day, la hijab, no separating between the men and the women. There are people coming in. He's saying, I'm her uncle. I'm not, you know, this. And she doesn't know him from Adam. And he comes in and he's sitting with her. And the husband's brother is feeding her cake. And all kinds of muharramat. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultan. Allah never sent any authority for any of it. So if they can make that day a day of obedience to Allah and obedience to His Messenger, and if they did wrong, they make tawbah and they come back to Allah and they resolve for their children's marriages, they will not get married like that. And they keep away from the innovations and the bid'ah, then insha'Allah ta'ala, Allah will bless them in their marriage by His permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. To continue, marriage is an aqd, we said. Uqdatun nikah, it's a contract. And contracts have a very special place in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the first ayah in Surah Al-Ma'idah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ أُحِلَّتْ لَكُمْ بَهِيمَةُ الْأَنْعَامِ إِلَّا مَا يُتْلَى عَلَيْكُمْ غَيْرَ مُحِلِّ الصَّيْدِ وَأَنْتُمْ حُرُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَحْكُمُ مَا يُرِيدُ. O you who believe, fulfill your agreements. Carry out your agreements. All of your agreements. Some of the ulama, they said the whole of Islam is in this ayah. أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. Everything in Islam. Your agreements with Allah. Your agreements in terms of the sharia, what you promised to do. All of your mu'amalat you have with people. All of the ibadat and the mu'amalat can be summarized by the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. Stick to your agreements. This is an aqd, and you have to fulfill that agreement on both sides. The husband and the wife, they have to fulfill that agreement on both sides. So it's, I want to just to go on to talk about this issue of conditions and agreements in the marriage contract, and that this is a contract that has to be fulfilled, because Allah said, أَوْفُ بِالْعُقُودِ. In Surah An-Nisa, ayah number 58, Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِذُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, Allah commands you that when it comes to the amanat. Now, how do we know marriage is an amana? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you took them bi amanillah. In some of the narrations, bi amanatillah. You took them by Allah's amana. They became your wives by Allah's amana. When it comes to the amanat, Allah commands you that you give those amanat, you render the trust to the people that they are due to. Now here, marriage is an amana between you and Allah. In the sense that you have to fulfill the amana before Allah, and it's an amana in terms of the wife's family, that they gave their daughter to you as an amana, and it's an amana in terms of your relationship with your wife, that you're responsible for her as the head of the household, you have responsibility over her, then you use that responsibility in the way that is right. That's an amana. Allah commands you with regard to the amanat, that you return those amanat to those they are due to. وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. And when you judge between people, you judge in justice. So we said that marriage is an act, and Allah commands you to fulfill أَوْفُوا بِالْعُقُودِ. Fulfill your agreements. And marriage is an amana, and Allah Azza wa Jal commands you that when it comes to the amanat, you look after them and you fulfill them to the people that they are due to. Uqbah ibn Amir radiyallahu an, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أحق الشرط أن يوفى به ما استحللتم به الفروج. Uqbah ibn Amir, he said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the most deserving of all conditions for you to fulfill are those that make the private parts halal. Subhanallah. The most deserving of conditions. So we talked, Allah said it's an aqd, Allah said awfu bil uqud. Allah said it's an amana, Allah said inna allaha ya'murukum an tu'addu al-amanati ila ahliha. And here it's a shart. It's a condition. And we know the Prophet ﷺ said, al-muslimuna ala shurutihim. The Muslims have to fulfill the conditions they agree to. And in the conditions, and this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, the most deserving of all conditions to be fulfilled are those that make the private parts halal, i.e. those conditions that form a part of the nikah. Now that could be implicit conditions, that is the huquq of zawjain, the rights of the husband and the wife, and it could be the conditions that are made in addition. Because one of the things that can exist in the aqd al-nikah, like all mu'amalat, there can be shurut idafiyah, additional conditions which are added. Additional conditions. And that could form, some of you will not have that in your marriage contracts, meaning your marriage contracts will be like, if the word is right, vanilla. You know, no, nothing added, you know, just plain contracts. And those then in that case, the shurut are the shurut that Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained to us, the basic conditions, the huquq, the rights of the husband and the wife, which we're going to come to. But it may be that there are conditions. There could be conditions in the contract. People put certain things, the condition is such and such, the condition is such and such. And that condition could come from the wife, it could come from the husband. Either could make conditions upon the other. So it is important that if these conditions are made, they are the most deserving of all conditions to be fulfilled. They're the most deserving of all conditions. And that doesn't have to be always additional conditions. It can also be the inherent and implicit conditions that exist within the nikah in terms of the rights of the husband and the wife, the amana, that the act itself, the contract itself, and so on. But many people do have additional conditions in their marriage contracts. So I wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about these additional conditions. As I said, the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, and the hadith is in Jami' al-Tirmidhi. It's also a similar wording, is also mentioned in Abi Dawood, that one from Abi Hurairah, that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, As-sulhu ja'izun bayna al-muslimin illa sulhan harrama halalan aw ahalla harama wal muslimuna ala shurutihim illa shartan harrama halala aw ahalla harama. The Prophet ﷺ said, making sulh, making, and we're going to come to sulh in marriage later on, like making a peaceful agreement. There's a word for it, like a good-natured agreement. Or making peace is permissible between the Muslims, except for an agreement which makes haram something that was halal, or makes halal something that was haram. And Muslims are bound by the conditions they agree to, unless it is a condition that makes haram something halal or makes halal something haram. Muslims are bound by conditions. When you sign the terms and conditions of a contract, al-muslimuna ala shurutihim, you are bound by those conditions, unless there is a condition that makes something halal haram or something haram halal. So it's very important that the conditions you agree to in the nikah, you are bound by them. You have to stick to them. Unless there is something which makes haram halal or halal haram. This is further clarified by the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, I'm just going to quote a part of it. He said, أما بعد فما بال أقوام يشترطون شروطا ليست في كتاب الله ما كان من شرط ليس في كتاب الله عز وجل فهو باطل وإن كان مئة شرط كتاب الله أحق وشرط الله أوثق. The hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, and this part of the hadith that we want to quote, the Prophet ﷺ said to continue, what is the matter with some people that they put down conditions? These conditions are not in the book of Allah. They're not in the book of Allah. Whatever condition is made to any mu'amala, any kind of interaction, whatever condition is made that is not in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal is false, i.e. it is invalid. Even if there are 100 conditions, the book of Allah is more deserving and the conditions of Allah are stronger and more tightly, you're more tightly bound to them. So here we take a number of benefits. First of all, it's not allowed for there to be any extra stipulated conditions that go against the book of Allah. And the book of Allah includes the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ here, because Allah Azza wa Jalla said in his book, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا. Whatever the messenger gives you, take it. And whatever he commands you to stay away from, prohibits you from, then abstain from it. So Allah Azza wa Jalla included the commands of the Prophet within the commands of the Quran. In other words, the Quran commands you to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if there's a condition that goes against the Quran or goes against the sunnah, then this condition is falsehood. And likewise, if it goes against ijma', consensus, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that our ummah, this ummah, will not gather together upon falsehood. So all of these are included. There's a condition that goes against the book of Allah, or the sunnah, or the consensus of the Muslims, this condition is batil, it's invalid. Even if 100 of them are written down, the book of Allah is more deserving. And the condition of Allah is awthaq. And from here we can understand that when we say about condition, about the most important conditions to follow are those that make the private parts halal, that here from the conditions are shartullah, the conditions that Allah laid down. They are the strongest and the most heavy and the most weighty are the conditions that Allah Azza wa Jal laid down. But if you make additional conditions, those conditions cannot go against the Book of Allah or against the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or against that which the Muslims have unanimously agreed upon. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he said in a statement explaining this, he said, مَنِ اشْتَرَطَ فِي الْوَقْفِ أَوِ الْعِتْقِ أو الهبة أو البيع أو النكاح أو الإجارة أو النذر أو غير ذلك شروطا تخالف ما كتبه الله على عباده. He said, and I'll just translate this part. He said, whoever makes a condition in a waqf, like something which is given in terms of it becomes like a charitable trust, or itq, freeing a slave, or a gift, or a business transaction, or nikah, marriage, or renting, or an oath, or anything else, they make conditions that go against what Allah has made obligatory over His servants. They go against what Allah has made obligatory over His servants. He then said, بِحَيْثُ تَتَضَمَّنُ تِلْكَ الشُّرُوطِ الْأَمْرَ بِمَا نَهَى اللَّهُ عَنْ أَوِ النَّهْيَ عَمَّا أَمَرَ بِهِ أَوْ تَحْلِيلَ مَا حَرَّمَهُ أَوْ تَحْرِيمَ مَا حَلَّلَهُ فَهَذِهِ الشُّرُوطُ بَاطِلَ بِاتِّفَاقِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي جَمِيعِ الْعُقُودِ. He said, how does this be such that these conditions entail commanding something which Allah forbade, or forbidding something which Allah commanded, or making halal something Allah made haram, or making haram something Allah made halal? These conditions are batila. They are invalid. They are false. They are worthless by the consensus of the Muslims in every single contract. So that includes the contract of an-nikah. That includes the contract of nikah. So in the contract of nikah, any conditions are made that the what that condition entails, even if the wording, but the entailed, the tadammun, what it entails, what it contains, is to command something Allah prohibited, or prohibit something Allah commanded, or make something halal that Allah made haram, or make haram what Allah made halal. These conditions are batila. They are completely invalid as though they never existed in the first place, and this is a matter of ijma', of consensus among the Muslims. So what have we done so far? We have, in this particular segment of the course, we've taken a look at the aqd, the contract of the marriage, and we've taken a look at what that contract really is built upon and what it entails. So we're now ready, inshallah ta'ala, in the next episode, to go on to talk about the huquq, the rights of the husband and the wife, the rights that are equal, and how the family structure is based in terms of the responsibilities in the household and who is responsible for who and how the decision-making process is made and what the rights of the spouses are. So that's our next portion, inshallah ta'ala. And then after that, we're going to go on to an-nushuz, marital discord, and how we deal with it. And then inshallah ta'ala, we're ready to move to a whole new segment of the course, which would be to do with, inshallah ta'ala, to do with children and raising children and the relationship between parents and children, children and parents. And that's coming up in future episodes and parts of this course brought to you by Al-Madrasatul Umariya on the topic of the Muslim family. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal made easy for me to mention, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Assalamu alaikum. If you're enjoying these videos and you'd like to keep up to date with all of the courses we're going to be running, make sure you head over to amauathome.com.